So I think that's really cool. So public servants working in the south of Scotland will be working a 32-hour work week without loss of pay to test whether they want to roll it out to the whole country.
Oh, no.
So Scottish people look forward to that. Find these public servants and tell them to report that they're having a good time.
I know. My thing is, I think I'm a little spoiled as a Chinese person. I just feel like public servants should be there the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
Just in case, you know, just the frustration of people having to deal with it.
Welcome to The Bridge, fun conversations on culture, life, and everything in between.
Find us where you get your podcasts. If you like the show, then consider pushing the like button or giving us 5 stars. Suggestions, comments, anything you would like to share, email us at welovethebridge@gmail.com. We love The Bridge. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to The Bridge. Countries around the world are adopting, testing, and embracing a 4-day work week for office employees. From AI to increasing productivity, we are looking at dozens of countries and dozens of reasons. This looks like the future. What do you think, Alex?
I think it should be here a long time ago. I wouldn't have quit my job if it was a 4-day work week.
Well, I think this brings up so many questions because, you know, there are a lot of people in the US, Europe, elsewhere who are talking about, what is it called? A basic wage where you just get paid to not do anything because someday robots and AI may replace all jobs. So someday, I don't know, maybe 100 years from now, 50 years from now, tomorrow, I don't know when that's going to happen. Mm. But yeah, how would people buy things, right? How would consumerism work if you didn't make money because there were no jobs? So, you know, I think this is scary to a lot of people. The idea of a 4-day work week is scary because in the Western tradition, you have reaching all the way back to like ancient times when we got one day off. It comes from ancient literature, you know, like the Old Testament and stuff, that you're supposed to have days off. And then it grew until we eventually have the 5-day work week, which is the standard international system for, you know, employees to use. Mm. Honestly, I think 4-day work week is so advanced. I don't see this being fully adopted in all kinds of jobs in my lifetime. I'm not optimistic that this is a real thing. What do you think?
You're not? I think it might be. Isn't it already kind of true somewhere in European countries? I know it's very small and it still comes up as just news that some country is adopting a 4-day work week. And also this, I don't know if this comes as something you've never heard about, but when I was little, which is probably 20 years ago, mm-hmm. over 20 years ago, when I was in primary school, a lot of companies, or mostly state-owned companies or offices, they give people half day off on Wednesday. Mm. We would call Friday the little weekend because you get off work earlier on Friday as well. So,
Wow. Yeah,
it's, I think with economical development and just the fast pacing of this world and technology and everything, a lot of people that are used to the corporate world have this idea of how it should be run, but There was a time that's not too long from now where things are a little different.
Well, I think, you know, it makes a lot more sense for office workers to have a extra day off or to have half day off or work one day from home. All these kind of new arrangements that are coming out of, you know, the pandemic and just this time in society with AI everywhere. Mm. But, you know, let's look at some actual data here. So this is from the BBC. AI could make the 4-day work week inevitable, by Elizabeth Bennett, February 27th. So she makes the argument that, yeah, it's right here. It's happening now. And companies that don't do this, they're going to be left behind because people will just go to the companies that do offer this. Because increasingly, like you mentioned, there are an enormous amount of organization. And it says here, researchers found 29% of organizations with 4-day work weeks use AI extensively. And the more advanced the company's training in AI, the more likely a company is to give 3 days off per week. So the companies that are left behind that have been slow to adopt AI, they're the ones that still have 5-day work weeks. And the most advanced companies with the most advanced training, they're the ones. And what's happening also is people are leaving jobs that don't give this and moving to jobs that do give this. I guess I'm just from an older generation. I also feel this, the unfairness here, because like if you're in a service job, for example, you work at, I don't know, one of the many international service chains that are around the world, fast food and otherwise, are they going to give this to you too? Because, you know, people still need to put the French fries into the cup, right? Like, is this seems almost unfair. Office workers are going to be having 4 days work, but all the service and the construction jobs are going to remain. That seems like, are we building an unfair society?
It could be, but it's also maybe making it more universal where people with actual hand skills are, you know, what we call blue collar workers, are getting a little bit better pay than what we kind of stereotypically think that they would get in a more developed world.
Well, I remember working in construction framing in the United States, and those were, in fact, for the professionals, not just for like people who've been doing a couple of years, but people who've been doing 5 or 10 years, they made a lot of money.
Probably. And I remember hearing about, you know, gardeners and pool cleaners. And I actually recently just had this conversation with my friends from, I think, Germany or somewhere in Europe. I can't remember. But they were saying the same things. Like, if you want to work like a pool cleaner job or just a gardener job, you get paid a lot more.
Well, I have some of the information on Europe here because I wanted to make sure. This is from Euronews.com. This comes from February 2nd, 2024 by Guelia Carbonaro. I'm sorry, Guelia, if I've butchered your name. You can message us at welovethebridge@gmail.com and tell us how to pronounce your name. It says, Germany launches major 4-day work week trial amid labor shortage. So this is not just for office jobs. This is for all organizations. So they're launching this at 45 companies across the country to work one less day for the same pay. So you get the same salary, but you go home on whatever. I don't know. I don't know exactly. It doesn't say which day you get off. Actually, I was thinking about this because we kind of mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. I was thinking it would be interesting if your third day off was up to the employee, because then you could still have, you know, government services and companies open Monday through Friday, but just different times. Different people have different days off, because maybe some people like you keep mentioning Wednesday.
No, I would love it Friday.
I would love it was Friday or Monday, because then, yeah, you can go travel more. I like traveling. And for people who like us who like traveling, that might be ideal. For other people, it might be like, oh, I want to work 2 days, have a day off, work 2 days, have a couple days off.
Yeah.
And that might be nice for them because they're homebodies. Mm. But for travelers, oh my gosh. Also, I was thinking about this, the Chinese economy. First of all, a lot of people have misunderstandings about the Chinese economy. It's doing great. It grew 5.2% GDP last year. That's an increase in GDP. The U.S. grew by 2.5%, which means the Chinese economy grew by more than twice as much in total GDP for the entire of 2023. However, China is transitioning, this long-term project, transitioning towards a dual circulation economy, which includes consumerism. And one thing that people misunderstand are like, oh, China's great at saving. That's not great. If you want people to be consumers, consumer means spending.
Yeah.
And so what's really interesting is that Chinese consumers tend to spend lots of money when they're traveling. So if there were more opportunities for Chinese travelers to travel domestically because of 3-day weekends, they would go to other provinces, other cities and spend. And that would be good for, you know, the entire national economy. But also Chinese folks don't tend to just always go to big cities. They go to small places, small towns, villages, mountains, the Taoist temple on the mountain. We were just talking about Wudangshan, you know, Taishan, all these places. These are small village kind of areas. And if people were dumping money in there, that's going to generate an enormous amount of money for, you know, rural areas of China. So if you want to create a consumer economy, a 3-day weekend is a fantastic way to do that.
I would create my own 3-day weekend when I was working for my last company. I would have a very good policy that you can take half day off for your paid leave or your paid sick leave or the family care leave, you know, which I was using to care for my own family, which is me. So so just take half a day off on Friday and choose to work from home on Friday morning and then go somewhere on Friday afternoon.
You know, I think you and I are the same. Even when, here's the weird thing. This is an on a side, not really on point kind of argument. It's really interesting because you and I are very similar in that if we have a day off, probably going to work anyway.
Yeah. Like,
I'm at home. It's my day off. I'm doing the same stuff that I would do in the office. Exactly the same stuff.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't think I'm, you know, suited to just doing nothing anymore. I've gotten to the point in my life where I have a hard time doing nothing.
You have to change that, Jason. I know that for people that work in, I mean, I can't speak on all professions, but people that work in media and internet and tech and, you know, like all the advanced technologies, that are not developers, anyone who works in communication, it's really hard for these people to completely detach from work because the nature of your work is that you want to be connected and in touch and know what's going on. And then people kind of do just need you to answer questions. So I try to get to the part where when I'm on vacation, I don't check my work communication messages. But I, for all the little vacations I've taken, I did not make that happen.
Well, you know, there's a difference between someone telling you to do something and self-directing. I'm very motivated when I'm self-directing. So if I'm at home, it's not that I'm messaging work colleagues. I'm not. But I'm definitely like working on projects because it's my chance to do it my way.
Yeah.
So I'm like, another thing is, this was many years ago. I tried that whole not doing something thing.
Uh-huh.
I was in Thailand 2017 or 18. My wife was like, let's go to the pool. I was like, okay, I'll leave my phone here and practice, you know, really not doing anything. So I swam in the pool or whatever, 5 minutes. Okay, this is boring now. And I got out and I sat on the towel underneath the little lamp post thing with no computer, no book, no nothing, just sat there. And after about like 2 minutes, I was like, yeah, this is not interesting to me. What do I do now? Just sit here? Like, I can't just sit here.
I can sit there. But I will say, when I was traveling in 2019, when I was still freelancing, I had a work to do, but I brought my laptop to Thailand on my solo trip. And there was one day where I just had to deal with work, but I did it I went to the pool first. I had a nice little hotel breakfast and I went to just jump into the pool for like maybe 20 minutes. And I came out and I brought out my laptop and I just lied down next to the pool and worked out there for the whole day. And it was I was like, work is so beautiful.
Yeah, I think you're pointing out the same thing I'm pointing out. I can work on my vacation and feel happy. Let's move on to some more global discussion. This is from Euronews.com, February 22nd, 2024. 4-day work week firms in the UK, so this is a different country, make the move permanent after world's biggest trial. So this is not the whole country. This is just specific firms. So there was a UK study that shows, this is from the article, work intensity remains lower and job satisfaction is higher during a 4-day work week. So that means people are a lot happier. Basically. And so there was a pilot of 61 organizations in 2022, and 89% of those companies are still doing it. So 89% of companies, that's almost all of them, right? Like 9 out of 10 are saying like, hey, after we tried it, there wasn't any going back. And so they stuck with it. And that's how it works out. Everyone gets the same pay. They just work less.
That works for a lot of people, I think. And you know what it is? I think Saturday and Sunday have been the days off for so long. And when you say you get an extra day, you've already had pre-built ideas about what happens on the weekend already. So even if you have 2 days off, sure, Friday, you're going to go have a drink with your friend. And then Saturday, you're going to be hungover or you're going to be tired and you have to do laundry and stuff. So it still feels like working. If you add a new spin to it, like, oh, there's 1 day before Saturday, I feel like people are going to look forward to that new day, and that'll make the first 4 days a lot more productive just mentally.
Right. I was thinking about that. I think that if I have something to look forward to, like I have a vacation coming up or like there's an event or whatever, I'm usually happier at work because I'm thinking about, if I could just make it to this day, then such and such thing happens. And that makes me feel motivated to at work.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think, again, I keep thinking about the Chinese economy. And, you know, like one thing that's China struggles with is giving people days off.
Mm.
So let's say you have a national holiday of some kind, right? And they give you like Monday off. Sometimes they make you work Saturday, right? It's really weird. Like,
yeah.
And that if China's trying spending, they need to actually give people more days off. So I think if we're trying to talk about, you know, a nation switching to a 4-day work week, I don't know if that can happen in China, because even when you guys give people days off, sometimes you put another day somewhere else where you have to work to earn that day off. So it's really, China seems resistant to giving people more time off. Am I wrong? You're the Chinese person here.
Well, I actually should have looked up why we're doing this kind of, you know, borrowed work days and trying to make it longer. Right now, the way they do it is because when you have even if it's just 1 day off, they want to make it a little longer weekend so that everybody could travel or rest. And that worked really well with our parents' generation, because they are the generation that didn't grow up or enjoy their like teenage or youth days when tourism is a major way of consumption.
Mm.
So they embraced it. They really loved it. Till today, my mom still wants to go out like travel to some other city during like these mm-hmm. long weekends or the May holiday, October holiday. But I think that is changing on a very large scale because younger people like me, although I'm not that young anymore. I'm still considered a young person. Younger people like me.
You're on the verge of a midlife crisis, the way you're defining yourself.
I feel that, Jason. I feel that. I feel the contrast between my mind and my body. But a lot of younger people, they are choosing to just stay put during these long weekends, even for the longer October holiday, because they know wherever they go, it's going to be crowded. Mm. And they know that they've worked, for example, 6 days or 7 days before they have this long holiday, quote unquote, and they're going to have another make. So it makes people feel like, what's the point of crowding these days together? So I think the whole purpose of putting this in place in the first place is kind of changing. Like the reciprocation is different nowadays. So mm-hmm. I really hope that this changes, because I think if you just give people a random day off, they will enjoy it as well.
I'm always being told, Jason, you need to find things that you want to contribute to the discussion about China, right? You know, like a lot of people, aggressive people who don't like, you know, other countries, they have very critical views of other countries. I love China. And so I'm always being told, Jason, well, what is something you would want to change? I usually say, you're not ride your bicycle on the sidewalk. But, you know, one thing that actually I think would be really good for China is having more 3-day weekends where you don't have to make it up somewhere else. And the reason is this, it's not just, hey, have more time off. I don't really have a strong opinion about that. But I do have a strong opinion about growing the economy, the consumer economy. This is what I think. If you have a week off, you might go to Europe, right? Or India or Nepal or wherever. But if you have 3-day weekend, you're not leaving the country. But you might, millions of people. Well, I'm talking about normal people here. But what my point is, like if a lot of people, we're talking about millions of people would travel and they would probably not travel abroad because it's not in a long enough time. So that means they would go to like a neighboring province or a neighboring city or like somewhere else in China. That would spur an enormous amount of constant consumerism because Chinese people would be traveling around inside China largely, millions of people, if not tens of millions of people, if not hundreds of millions of people, and they'd be spending tons of money everywhere and it would grow the consumer economy like out of control. So honestly, a 4-day work week is like would be a massive boon to the Chinese economy. And I know that even if Chinese lawmakers were to take my word seriously, they would do one of those things where they trial it with a certain group of people or a certain age or a certain kind of work or whatever, because they don't usually just like change one thing in the economy overnight. They usually do it in like little spots and little trials and see how it goes and that kind of.
Yeah, of course.
But you know, if this is something I think economists might take seriously. I was talking about this with some of my economist friends like Ben Norton, and they were like, oh yeah, that's a brilliant idea. So I think honestly, we could move forward with that as something that could grow consumerism in China. I really do see a 4-day work week as not just like an excuse to take a day off, but a way to grow China. Oh yeah.
You're listening to The Bridge.
Okay, I want to move to some more examples. So I want to go to another article. This is also Euronews. This is the same Julia Carbonaro with David Welsh, Luke Hurst, and Josephine Jolly. It's February 2nd. And it basically talks about how this is starting to happen all over Europe. And so mentions Belgium is introducing a 4-day work week for employees who want it. Could you imagine not wanting it?
I would imagine someone would want to look, you know, they might want to come off as hardworking or wanting this job, and then they will say no to that.
You know, I have colleagues in my workplace who are way past retirement. We're talking about in their 70s, and they love coming to work. I don't think they need the money. I think they just like the routine of getting up and coming to work 5 days a week. So I think for some people are different, and some people might be like, you're not going to let me come to work on Friday.
I know, but there's some people who actually do.
Yeah.
Some people are like, oh God, excuse me, can I come to the company on Saturday as well?
Well, I've done that when I was working on my book because there's no distractions. No one's there. You know, like it's like a free office space, right? Okay. Portugal.
Yeah.
This is from the same article. Portugal is also trialing a 4-day work week with 39 private companies who are going to give full pay for 100% pay for 80% of the time in exchange for a commitment to maintaining at least 100% productivity. So I don't know what that means. That means, like, please work hard and we'll give you an extra day off, I guess.
I mean, if you are productive enough, that's your day off. That's what they mean. But it is a little mind twister. I will just quickly comment on that. I do feel like there's one day every week when I was working, especially this kind of jobs where it's highly not mechanical, but it follows the same pattern every day. You do definitely feel like one of the days you're just like, what am I doing here? And can I leave this till tomorrow? Yes, I can. But then the other days you will have one day where you basically, whether you have a day off or not that week, you'll have like a highly, highly stressful one or two days. And then after that one or two days, there's always one day where you're just like, why did I come to work? I did nothing at the end of the day when you're going home and you're kind of late. You're like, well, I didn't need to be here for today.
Well, you know, in terms of working, I get my own habit is kind of irrelevant because like I always can find new projects to invent for myself. So if I usually front stack my week, get everything that needs to be done immediately, and then like start filling in with new things I could do. But moving on. You know, I honestly, even if you gave me the extra day off, I would be at home working. I would come to the office.
You're a workaholic.
I guess so. I mean, you know, okay, Scotland and Wales also doing the same thing. They're trialing it with public servants. So I think that's really cool. So public servants working in the south of Scotland will be working a 32-hour work week without loss of pay to test whether they want to roll it out to the whole country.
Oh, no.
So Scottish people look forward to that. Find these public servants and tell them to report that they're having a good time.
I know. My thing is, I think I'm a little spoiled as a Chinese person. I just feel like public servants should be there the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
Just in case, you know, like it's the frustration of people having to deal with paperwork. But
showing up at the office, no one's there.
Exactly. But if they do this under the premise that the process would be streamlined and the efficiency would be a lot higher, you don't have to wait for certain documents for 2 months, then yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think it's also like if you show up into the office, you know, if different people have different days off, that's okay, right? So
yeah.
So maybe even it shifts around. So like this week you have Friday off, but next week you can't because someone else wants it. So you have Thursday off. I think, you know, that in different positions, different companies are going to have to find different ways to maintain the same level of access to the public for that kind of thing. But also companies too. Or if we get more robots in the fast food industry and the French fries are put in the box by robots, you know, you might need fewer service employees or service employees working fewer hours. So, I mean, we're looking at the next 10 to 20 years, watching the world transform its relationship to work. And we've already seen that in the last 5 years, but so much has happened. Okay, I want to talk about another country. Same article, Spain starts its first trial. So they introduced a program in a 4-day working week in December of 2022. It's a pilot program with some companies, and they're receiving a 10 million, I guess that's the euros, from the government to help them roll this out and to see if it works because they wanted to get the maximum amount of companies participating in the program. I guess some companies would be like, what? You want us to try not having our employees come to work? You better give us some money, and which is exactly what's happened. Iceland, one of the leaders in the 4-day work week.
I know.
Between 2015, so they were early, to 2019, Iceland conducted the first, the world's largest pilot of 35 to 36 hour work weeks, cut down from 40 with no cuts in pay for 2,500 people. So that was early, 2015. But it's a lot, countries are doing a lot bigger rollouts now.
Okay.
Let's move on. So Sweden, they had mixed reactions. Also 2015, so they were really early. They gave it to nurses and doctors. Wow. That's wild, because what if you need a really specialist doctor? I'd be scared. Oh my gosh, our neurosurgeon is taking a trial extra day off. You're going to have his understudy.
I don't know if this is giving them an extra day off, because they usually go on really long shifts, right? They have to be in a hospital, I think, for like 36 hours per shift. And so they can't really sleep. Yeah, they can't really sleep. I think the shortest was 24 hours, but you're really on standby during those 24 hours. So at nighttime, if something happens, you definitely have to wake up and do things like that. And that's where mostly their stress and the kind of the damage to their body is coming from.
I don't understand that at all. Wouldn't you want, okay, a medical doctor needs to make critical decisions with a very active mind. Wouldn't you want them to like work 8 hours, take a break, work 8 hours, take a break?
I guess theoretically it makes sense, but usually because you have to like, because the conditions of a lot of patients could change in a heartbeat or in a day. So they want to make sure that, you know, if they, because every time when they change shifts, they have to do handovers to the next doctor. So I guess they're kind of decreasing the frequencies where they have to hand it off to a different doctor. So that's their way of being responsible to the patients the best they can. But it's just, that's why doctors get a lot of respect. And in some countries they get really, really good pay, because the work is kind of really demanding. And then, yeah,
just saving lives, you get a lot of respect. Okay, so Finland has not introduced a 4-day work week despite widespread claims. So that's interesting. So they are also trialing it. Japan's big corps venture into the 4-day work week as of 2021. But I guess that might be related to the pandemic, because that is right in the middle of the pandemic. I wonder if they're still doing it. It does not go on to talk extensively in this article. A company called Unilever is trying it in New Zealand. And there's strong interest in the US and Canada. And I know a lot of individual companies are doing it. And I have a different article about that. So there's another article here. And before we jump into more conversation, this is called Tech. It's the Impact of Technology and Science in the Workplace. It's a scientific report from 2024, which talks about the impact of AI and other technology.
Of course.
And some of the things that it mentions are, you know, people are using AI more, obviously. And it mentions ChatGPT by name because it's the most popular one. But it also mentions digital natives and businesses that use AI are more open to the idea of a 4-day work week. So I think, you know, and it also has some statistics associated with that. There's a chart here I found really fascinating when we were getting ready for this show. And it says how extensively AI tools used within your organization. And the higher probability of using AI would have the higher probability of wanting a 4-day work week. So companies that fully use AI, have fully integrated AI into their workplace, have a 93% probability of wanting a 4-day work week. And then if you go all the way down to we don't use AI at all on the other side, it says it's 40% people would be interested.
Yeah.
And it just tapers up. So the more AI a company uses, according to this chart, the more likely they are to want to have a 4-day work week.
Yeah, that makes sense, because you feel like, I think companies with this long running organization, the way they get everybody to work so that the company could run as a machine, the longer this is, the more people realize a lot of work can be done by machines. When I was working at my last job, I really tried to, automate the whole process, because it doesn't make sense for me to hand assign all of those things that could cost me a day. And it's just, you know, really boring job that doesn't need to be handled by a human. So if AI can help, I'm sure they can say, let AI handle that, and this day I get off.
I do this thing called polishing occasionally, and sometimes people hand me stuff and I'm like, they didn't write this. Because I'm like, this is so verbose and wordy, and like the word choices are so stilted. I mean, I'm happy to polish it and turn it into something like useful and whatever, but it's clear like they just punched it up on ChatGPT and they were like, make something that says this.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, you can kind of still tell a lot of the time that something is written by AI, because it's too, I don't know, what's the word? It's not verbose, not just wordy, but it uses weird word choices that are too official sometimes.
Yeah, like how you first learn to people who don't come from English native speaking environment.
Right.
How when they first learn to write, they're always trying to use like structures and big words. And, you know, like you'll never say people. Yeah. People know, you'll say it's universally acknowledged. You know?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I have a very good friend. He's a great friend of mine here in Beijing. And he is a Chinese gentleman who learned English from both of his parents are professors of English here in China. But he learned English in China and he loves to use the word shao.
What? Huh? Oh, shall.
Instead of the word will. He uses shall too often. So he'll say, shall we go here or we shall do this? And I'm like, you should just say we will, dude.
I can live with shall we go, but like, we shall do this. I was like, I would imagine when you say that, you should be holding a sword and a shield and in an armor.
And have like a boat, a bow tie with your sword and your shield. Yeah, it's very strange.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Anyways, okay. I don't want to.
I'm sure your friend is a great person.
But you can definitely tell people who have lived abroad in native English country because they tend to use shorthand and slang and small words to get the right words are often the smaller words. Okay, let's move on. Companies that offer a 4-day work week in 2022. Now, this is company specific because there are a lot of, we were just talking about mostly governments initiatives with companies to test these things out around the world, but there are a lot of companies that are offering a 4-day work week. So 11 companies that offer a 4-day work week is one of the subheadings. Amazon, Basecamp, Big Law, Bolt, Buffer, Carefax, Ecosia, Forbes Advisor, Kickstarter,
Cruise,
Lamborghini, Microsoft, Panasonic, Samsung, ThreadUp, and Toshiba. So all of those companies offer their office workers 4-day work week, and it goes in to discuss the individual merits, and we're not going to go into that, of each company's attempt to roll that out. But you can see people, firstly, we have to put this in context, and I think a lot of people know this, over the pandemic, people were like told, oh, no, working at home is the best. This is the best way to do it.
Yeah.
And then the pandemic ended. They're like, no, you have to come to work. People who don't come back to work are going to be like laid off. And so you have all these people are like, I actually really liked working at home.
Yeah.
And so different companies are like, okay, why don't you work 3 days in the office, 2 days at home?
Yeah.
And so now companies are like, well, why don't you just take 1 day off? And if you want to work at home some of the time, go ahead. And so now we have all these different opportunities to explore the relationship of humans with their work.
Yeah. I mean, I do now I'm running my own business. I don't know how how safe that is for me because you do big companies, they do have to consider the, their costs of renting offices and providing coverage and stuff. But it really depends. For example, my friend's company, they reimburse all of your cab money. If you're not traveling from work, if you're not commuting from home to office, if you need to go anywhere, which they do very often, then the company pays for all of that. If they're allowed to work from home, and maybe you can cut down on that cost. But overall cost, I don't know how, economically, does it make sense for big companies to do that? As an employee, of course, I would want to hear that, hey, you can work from home 1 day, and then whether you want to come in for the rest of the days, it's up to you. But for companies, does it make sense? I think that's a big dilemma that companies and government and policymakers probably need to work out before this becomes a big trend.
Well, you have a lot of friends who are work in China and different roles. Do any of them have unusual relationships with their work that are not conventional that you know of?
You mean in terms of whether they're working from home or going to the office?
Yeah.
My friend who works for this educational tech company, they decided last year to go permanently online. So ever since then, she's been traveling. She's been going to different places. She's able to even work when she's in a different time zone. And they gave up their office because they're not paying for that anymore. And
wow. So they're saving money.
Yeah, they're saving a lot of money. And I guess they're one of the companies that have really seen during the pandemic that as long as we're communicating online, the nature of our product or the nature of our company allows everyone to be completely remote. So they did that and then they stuck with it because there are other companies that did kind of an indefinite work from home to see what's going to happen to the whole world. But then they resumed to regular work models after the pandemic was over. I know smaller companies disbanded their group as well. But the one thing that my friend's company that went permanently online was that they were doing kind of constant physical check-ins with people, like a little team meeting here and there and a team building travel, a trip to Thailand or to whatever, to make sure that people are still binding with each other on a humanly level. Because if you're just working, I wish I had, seen or spent time or physically worked with a lot of my coworkers during the pandemic, I would have probably prolonged my decision of leaving the company if I had been able to have that human connection and that touch working with these people. But the education tech company is still doing okay, I think. I don't know how long they're going to last. And if they didn't, how much of it would be attributed to the fact that they went permanently online. But at least the employees are extremely happy right now.
You mentioned a couple of things that I think are really interesting, because one of the things that I have found challenging in a couple of different roles I had where I was working remotely was being able to access my coworkers quickly. And I find that I need at least a couple of days in the office to like go and say, I have a question. Can we have a meeting? I need to talk to you for 5 minutes. I need to talk to you for 10 minutes. And so I don't think I would want to work permanently not in the office either. So I think if you're going to have a at work, partially at home kind of situation, I think that's better than just permanently or online. I think you need an offline online combo in order to help the workers because, you know, I'm typically at the bottom. I gave up leadership roles years ago. I don't like them. So I don't want to be in charge of other people. I hate it because when they do a poor job, I feel like I'm doing a poor job, even though it's out of my hands, you know? And then it's like, well, you're their manager. And it's like, gosh. So I don't want to be responsible for someone else's bad work. So I just rather be at the bottom and just be like a super contributor from the bottom.
Yeah.
But I can't always do my job effectively without talking to leaders, you know, other people in my department and whatever. So if I was at home, I would find that really frustrating. If I was just at home 5 days a week, I would be like, why? I need more contact with my coworkers. So I would love offline, online kind of combo. That would be great.
Yeah.
You know, that would be ideal. And
fusion.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, I think the idea of having an extra day off would be nice because I'd probably still work, but I would work in a way which is, in my opinion, more productive and more useful for what we're doing, for the kind of product that we're creating. But I think, you know, it depends on the person. It depends on the role. It depends on what they're doing, because there may be roles where you take an extra day off and the company may not, I can't think of them, but there may be roles out there where like it's not a good idea to have that much time off or to be out of the office. So I'm wondering how different countries and companies are going to move forward on this, because we are entering a point in society where it does make a lot of sense to have more time off. And the United States and China are actually competing for who has the bigger consumer economy now. So literally, like, our roles in society are to go buy stuff and like watch movies and drink smoothies and stuff. Like, in order for our society to function better, it doesn't make sense to just put millions of people into office buildings and have them sit in front of a table. It's actually better for civilization, for society, for the economy, for them to be out and buying stuff they don't need, which is really weird. And I mean, I don't understand. That's something for economists to work out.
Yeah.
But like, for us to all just be 5 days a week in an office, Monday through Friday, is not as powerful for economy. So as this, you know, global struggle for the best kind of economy moves forward, those countries that move towards having more time off to go out and spend money will probably do better than those economies that are like, no, we need to be more productive, stay in the building and sit in front of the table.
How much more productive can you be? Let's test our limits.
Another form of productivity for the economy, not maybe for a specific company, I don't know, is like actually going to the mall. Actually, literally.
But the thing is, if you give people extra day off, who's going to work the mall? I'm only saying that because my dear friend, little Emma, recently just moved to Germany, and she's kind of used to the convenience here where she could just go get anything she wants at any time, you know, any day during the week. The other day she messaged us, she's like, I can't talk anymore. I have to go get groceries. Otherwise, if I wait until later today, the shops are going to be closed. And tomorrow I can only go line up by the train station, which I didn't understand why. Maybe there's some kind of like, you know, for like emergency.
I've heard about this.
Grocery. Yeah. So
it's Sunday. We don't work. What? What do you mean? I can't get bread today?
You don't need anything on Sunday. Yeah.
Go get bread tomorrow. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Well, you know, also there's so many different angles to this. Let's say I go to the mall and walk. Wanda, it's a huge mall. There are malls like Wanda all over China. I don't work for Wanda. I don't get any pay. But there's a mall called Wanda nearby. I go to there for the movies with my wife. But you go to the mall, to the movie theater here in China, and there's like two people working there, you know, like there's someone like tearing the tickets and someone behind the counter. Everything else is these huge digital screens that are like bigger than your TV, but they're sideways. You walk up and you scan some things and push, I want to go to this movie. You choose your ticket. It spits out the tickets. You're done. I mean, even some of the games, like, you know, you want to entertain yourself, they're like automated.
Oh, I love those games.
And some of the food is automated. Some of the drinks are automated. You know, they barely have an employee there just to like stand there and have an employee. Like, people aren't, you know, you say, who's going to be there at the mall?
Like, that's true.
In a lot of shops, increasingly, there are fewer and fewer and fewer employees as like things become more streamlined. streamlined.
Yeah, that is true. If you consider that, then there is a lot of service that can be done that way. You know, the self-checkout grocery stores.
Yeah, yeah.
That Amazon was trying to do with it. I guess that could be done, that at least necessities like food and beverage and, you know, medical stuff that people could just go and access it. Oh, yeah.
You're listening to The Bridge.
Can I tell a story?
Yes, of course.
I like to be resistant sometimes to certain changes in society. I love the fact that there are like electronic kiosks. I think it's great. We're moving forward in a way that's good for labor, good for, like, you know, the people. But I also, at my grocery store, don't use those. Mm. So there's a grocery store in China, and this is for all you people who don't live in China. I want to tell you a little bit about, like, what it's like to go to the grocery store in China. So everything is the same. You get your cart, you fill it with stuff. Consumers, yay. Mm. And you have your international products, whatever. That's all good. But you go up and there's kiosks, and they have like several digital kiosks. And then they always have at least one where that is manned by a human. And this is usually for elderly people here in China who still use cash. And so all the old people are in the line, and Jason. And so, like, it's me and the old people in the line, and they usually have like what they're going to eat for lunch or that day. You know, they seem to buy only what they, and I have a cart full of food. So I'm in inconveniencing all the old people behind me in the line. I'm sorry. Mm. But yeah, I also don't want to scan my little things in this. I don't read Chinese well enough, so I have to inconvenience the old people line. But what I think it's really interesting is that a lot of people say, oh, I don't have cash. How am I going to make it in China? There's still cash. You can still use cash. You just got to get in the old people line.
Well, my friend, he got paid some cash, and he went to one of the breweries here, and he paid, I think it was like the 600 quite bill, whatever. And the brewery actually had enough change to give him his money back. And I was very, very impressed, because I would imagine most business nowadays just don't even have cash in hands anymore.
Legally, they're supposed to be able to take cash. In China, each business is required to be able to handle cash. But yeah, increasingly, if you pull cash out, people are like, what is that?
I know. I just imagined them to be like, oh, wait a second. We need to get some other change to break it and then give it back to you. But they were just like, oh, here's your change. I was like, oh, good job.
Well, you know, more and more things are becoming automated. And especially here in China, there are increasing number of robots. So you do have people on motor scooters. I want to say that's the word. Electronic e-bikes, I guess. And they're zooming around backwards through traffic, all whatever in China. And they are delivering your packages to your door as fast as you can order them. If you order from some apps, you'll get stuff to your door at 25 minutes, I swear. Yeah. 20 minutes. Boom. I'm here, take it. I gotta go. And they run away.
Yeah.
But like, there's also an increasing amount of robots participating in that. You know, it's still probably a small amount. It's like less than 5%, but you do see these AI driven, like, little robots in major Chinese cities driving around, delivering packages, being part of the logistics and supply chain. And I think that this is just starting. In 5 years, I think probably, you know, half of all deliveries will be somehow integrated with robotics just moving around. Because right now, if you go to any hotel in China and you order food, it's going to drives up to the hotel, either hands it off to the staff or puts it directly into a robot, which brings it to your room. So you're there and you open your hotel door room. There's a robot there talking to you, oftentimes with a little child's voice, which is weird.
I do want them to change that. It does kind of creep me out.
I was listening to it because I can understand Chinese. And one of them, as it was driving away, was saying, if you remember to close my door, I'm translating. If you're in a child's voice, like a 6-year-old boy or girl's voice, they sound the same at six. And it was like, if you remember to close my door, my mommy's gonna give me candy. And I was like,
that is creepy.
That is
stop doing that.
I'd rather it would just make beep bop noises or something.
Exactly. Don't speak human language to me. Like, I'm not
especially
supposed to
weird
understand.
Stuff like it doesn't have a mommy that gives it candy. It's so weird. It's trying to be cute. I get it. You're trying to be cute.
Oh, God.
You think you're learning from anime movies or something, but it's a little weird.
Oh, that's one part of my culture I once just heard of. Like, all of these, why can't robots be adults? Why do they all have to be little kids? I don't want little kids to...
Your stuff's here.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, I'll take it. You want me to close the door? I'll close it.
Close the door.
Like, instead of... Imagine having little kid actually delivering food to your door. You would feel very, very uncomfortable.
Oh, my gosh. Child labor.
I know.
We're talking about eliminating adults. adult labor. People who are concerned about child labor are going to, future's going to look weird if the future is, and especially for our high tech places. And, you know, I've been seeing digital renditions of robots will be able to do in a few years, because there a lot of people are pretending they're real now. And so they had this, this, you know, humanoid robot harvesting wheat in a field and saying, wow, look at what robots can do. And I'm like, that's not real, guys, but it might be in 5 years. You might have like farmers who are just like chilling, you know, sitting back with their lemonade on the porch with their feet up, and robots out harvesting their crops. I mean, we have automated robots that do that on wheels, right? But pretty soon they'll be doing it without any human help at all whatsoever.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the robots that are doing mechanical works are coming very soon, and they will be very handy. About those ones that look like human beings, that's a different topic.
You know, their face, where it makes facial expressions and stuff.
I hate those.
Yeah, they're creepy. Yeah.
I don't want them to become reality. Thank you.
It was like Saudi Arabia or Dubai or something gave a robot citizenship a few years ago. I was like,
I think that they gave Sophia or whatever the name is, or Julia or whatever the name is. That when that robot lady made a huge noise worldwide. And I'm like, I don't like this trend.
Wait, speaking of the word trend, I think that's where we are. We're at a point where society is looking at adopting a 4-day work week. But what happens in like 20 years when robots are basically doing everything or capable of doing everything? And they have AI too. And so they're making the products, that's deciding what products we want based on our consumption habits. They're putting up the signs, they're making the commercials, you know, 0-day work weeks. Like,
and then the robots will demand a 4-day work week.
Let's definitely not give robots, you know, the feeling of being exhausted or whatever.
Yes, please. Don't write that into the program.
Uh-oh, I'm going to be one of the first they eliminate. They're going to be like, Jason was against our rights.
I know. Maybe it'll just be, as long as I think we still remain the ones that are making creative and strategic decisions of this world, I think there will still be work days, maybe 3-day work week, you know, and then let the robot handle the rest. But I don't know. 0-day work week might sound like a demise of humankind.
Well, you know, I think it's interesting because firstly, we've talked about AI many, many, many times before, but I want to kind of put it into the context of labor. And so people are, I really am upset that AI came out before robots, because you're eliminating creative jobs and leaving labor jobs, but it's all going to be automated soon, all of it. Yeah. But what's really interesting is currently AI is not capable of creating art that is not unlike art that already exists. Mm. So if you say create as new kind of art, it's drawing from human expression thus far. It's not creating something that's never been done, that's original, that's truly unique. When Chuck Close, the artist, first created his form of art, nothing like that existed before Chuck Close. So if you didn't have Chuck Close come into the art scene, AI would not be able to reproduce that kind of art now. So my point is, we will still need the human creativity moving forward, because you can't just replace that. I don't think it's possible.
Yeah.
I honestly am one of those people that think there are limits to machine learning and that human thinking will always be required. So yeah, someday we'll all be musicians and artists and stuff. That's my feeling.
Yeah. I mean, I don't understand the exact science and our neural networks, how everything is done, how neutrons are triggered and that makes us think certain way, whatnot, or feels something. But I feel like as long as machines are built on math and logic, they can't be human, at least not yet. I mean, we have random ideas, sudden urge to do something that's not really in our awareness logical. Like, it's not motivated by the result of our calculation, then it won't be, you know, random or just out of nowhere anymore. And computers can't really, at least right now, can't really function that way. So as long as that randomness is still part of human nature, you know, movies like jump scares and you know, cute little things that couples do and stuff, that's still things that only human beings can feel and recreate and relate to.
Well, moving to the purpose of our show, The Bridge, you know, I'm from the US, you're from China. We're both here in beautiful Beijing. You know, I think what's interesting is that I asked you about your Chinese friends, and we talked about some companies where there's online offline mixes here in China.
Yeah.
In the US, there are online offline mixes. And in different companies in China, they're trying 4-day work weeks. And in different companies in the US, they're trying 4-day work weeks. And again, we see with like almost every topic that we bring up that life in China and life in the US isn't so dissimilar. There are robots in China, there are robots in the US, there's AI technology in China, there's AI technology in the US. China and the US have some of the most advanced and most innovative patented technologies in the world. They're both leaders in technology innovation and in the workforce too. This is happening. I have one last article, and we don't have a lot of time, but I just want to run through it. These are the US states moving towards a 4-day work week. And so individually, different states are already starting to create laws and where 4-day work weeks are starting to pop up. It says Amazon and Microsoft have been experimenting with shorter work weeks. States that have proposed a 4-day work week in some way or another for some group or another are California, Massachusetts, Missouri, Pennsylvania, Texas, and kind of Vermont, it says. It says Vermont, maybe. So these are just proposals, and it goes through a list of proposals where legislation has been introduced trying to create the conditions for 4-day work weeks in various countries. And states that have already failed to do so, which means they've attempted to do so, are Hawaii, Maryland, Utah, and Washington. So increasingly, around the world, Europe, Asia, the United States, elsewhere, countries and companies are moving towards new kinds of relationships between employees and their work. And I think that's fascinating. And I'm also looking forward to maybe working a little bit less in the future. Maybe I can even try sitting there with nothing to do longer than 2 minutes.
I mean, now that I'm working for myself, I don't know how that's going to affect me, but you know, just in case I go back to a company, I would appreciate that as well.
If you have employees, that's an interesting question. If you're a small new startup, how do you feel about hiring someone for a full wage who only works 4 days a week?
I feel like I'm going to ask those inappropriate questions at interviews.
How do you feel about working 7 days a week?
If you say yes to 4 days, maybe you're not the best fit for my company.
I've been following this guy on Instagram. He shows these videos of bad managers saying things that have actually been said. So people message him real stories of their managers saying terrible things to them. And then he reads them out to you like you. He's your leader, and it is fascinating some of the stuff bad managers say to their employees.
Yeah, it's not uncommon.
Well, anyways, let us know what you think. Would you be willing to work a 4-day work week? Listener, what country are you from? What are working conditions like? Do you work a 4-day work week? If you do, please email us at welovethebridge@gmail.com. Maybe you could be a guest. Maybe we could interview you. Maybe we could read your comments on the air. welovethebridge@gmail.com. We would be fascinated to hear your story. Thank you so much for your time, listeners. Thank you so much for your time, Alex.
Thank you, Jason. And thank you for your hard work.